Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apology, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all.
Today we'll be continuing our question and answer series with more of our listeners' questions. Let's listen as Dr. Bloom answers these questions.
And now, here's our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
I heard some preaching about the issue of being 501c3 incorporated church. Is this a problem for an independent New Testament church? Should they be incorporated? Are you aware of the state-church relationship that exists between nonprofit corporations and the state and federal government?
All right. This question about being a 501c3 organization, I've had it come up before about being incorporated, and I believe that it's an issue that revolves around the idea of separation. The Bible teaches separation. Come out from among them and be separate. I am a pastor of an independent Baptist church, and so I am very strong on that, and I don't want a state church. I don't want a government church. I don't even have a denomination. We're independent Baptists, so we don't have anybody in Nashville, California, Texas, Rome, or anywhere else telling us what we're going to teach, what we're going to preach. Instead, as Spirit-led people, we seek God's Word and let God's Word give us a direction for the local church. But now, in answer to this dear brother's question, I wrote this. I am very aware of the arguments that are out there today about incorporating your church. To incorporate a church will protect the members if, for instance, some person is hurt in an accident with the church bus. They sue for $10 million. Church property, insurance, along with all the church's assets, will not cover half of what has been awarded. Incorporation prevents the one suing from taking the personal assets, as a house, the savings, what have you, of individual members. I preached my first sermon in a church in February of 1970. And with that first sermon, and the thousands upon thousands of sermons I have preached since, I have yet to be told by the government what I can and cannot preach. We are required to meet standards for our buildings and requirements of building permits, inspections, and I think that's wise. You don't want your people in an unsafe building. We care for people more than that. Incorporation as a 501c3 organization also prevents us from paying taxes with God's money that was given in tithes. And so why would I want to take tithe that was designated for the Lord's work and then send it to the government, which supports gay marriage, abortion, and such like through tax appropriations? Now, I usually ask people to listen to my preaching for the last 6 months from our website and let me know if it sounds like the government is telling me what I can and cannot preach. Now, as Peter and John, when the government tells us not to do something, in the case of Peter and John, was not to preach in Jesus' name, then we obey God rather than man, and we suffer the consequence, whatever that consequence may be. In John and Peter's case, they got a beating with a whip. Now, I've been told by some of the radio networks about preaching against contemporary music, and to take great care about preaching against homosexuality, and about calling abortion murder. Do you realize that none of those cases was it the government telling me what I can and cannot preach from the Word of God? And, of course, we still continue to preach it as it is to men as they are. We have not compromised that, and so we didn't let up on contemporary music, on homosexuality, and abortion, or any of that other stuff of the sins that go on in this country today. And so we just continue to preach as thus saith the Lord. And in saying that, what I'm saying is that sometimes it's the people who claim to be Christians that sometimes try to prevent you from preaching the truth. I have a sermon titled, We Can No Longer Be Silent. You can look it up on our website. It's a sermon in its entirety on homosexuality. It was printed in the Sword of the Lord newspaper, which if you don't receive, go online, find out how you can order that paper and get it coming in. If your pastor doesn't get it, order it for him. It's not expensive to have coming into your home every other week. There's 26 issues a year, and it is tremendous. But again, they didn't say, well, look, you got to cut back. You can't have this in there. And I don't think that any God-loving person is going to say, you can't do this. We're not going to allow it. Now, some of the same people who are against incorporation have also spoken against having a driver's license. Yet, since I have members in the law enforcement industry, they informed me that these people had current license, regardless of what they say. When a law does not interfere with our doctrinal duty, then we obey the law. When it interferes in carrying out our duty for God, then we obey God rather than man. That is a biblical principle with me. I obey government in obedience to God. We expect our wives to be in subjection to us. Yet, people say, as Christians, we are to obey only God. Well, that's true. Therefore, a woman is in subjection to her husband because she is in subjection to God. She would be wrong to obey him if he told her to wife swap with another man. I obey government where it does not interfere with obedience to the Word of God because the Bible tells me to obey government. I know that there are some good men who would disagree with me. However, the theme verse for the Lamp and Light broadcast is still the principle for life, allowing God's Word to be the light, not men's philosophies of government. I hope this clears it up for you, and I want to thank you for writing and asking this pertinent question today.
An Indiana listener writes, I understand that at the moment of death, the soul separates from the body and goes either heaven or hell. What happens to the person who is declared dead by the doctors, and then they bring them back? Where does that soul go at death? How does that soul reunite, if it does, when they're brought back? Also, on a completely different matter, my neighbor said she's saved, but has not attended Sunday school in years. I've given her tracts, and she's visited church with me on a few occasions. She said it's hard for her to get up on Sunday morning, so she's been going to a Christian church in town that meets on Sunday evening. She's asked me to attend a Saturday night service with her. Her pastor's from a college in Tennessee, which is denominational church for the Christian church. I do not feel comfortable in a Saturday service. What would you recommend?
Well, these are two different subjects that came in from this Indiana listener on one email. So I'm going to try to answer both subjects here in this question. Now, with the first subject dealing here with the idea of what happens to our soul if we die and then doctors bring us back, that's the first one I want to address first. And it is a question that evokes quite a bit of thought, and for many people, it's not just the thought, it's the intrigue. Now, I have heard and read of those who had what is called an out-of-body experience. One person was in surgery and reports how they were able to look down and see the surgeons frantically working on them. As a matter of fact, I've had a couple of people in my own church and my own family that have said and described what they saw, and it was very well legitimate. They saw a coin on top of the overhead light fixture and some other things that another person saw that were hidden from sight. And they were able to bring these people back, and when they investigated what they had said, they found that it was exactly as they had said it. One person is said to have left the room, roamed down the hall, and heard a conversation between a couple staff. And when they revived that person, the person told them all about it. Now, I didn't know that one. That's just a hearsay for me. They didn't believe it first until he was able to tell them exactly what the conversation was about. So there are some who would say that was actually a devil who deceived them and was able to help them see and hear those things, much as a clairvoyant. And so they'd say, well, the devil helped them see all of these things. In another personal experience, a lady who was a member of my church years ago said she remembers leaving the body and feeling such a peace. My dad's mother told of going and being told to go back. Now, I never mention those things from the pulpit because they lead to some of the charismatic people and visions and so forth that have no way of edifying. And it opens the door to things that would give the devil a place if it were to go on, be allowed to go on. That is not something that the scriptures encourage. So what happens? I believe that the best scriptural example is found in Luke 16 and the story of the rich man and Lazarus. Both died. But notice what the Bible says in verse 22. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. Now the angels carried Lazarus to Abraham's bosom. That is paradise. In Matthew 13, we see angels are used to carry the wicked to their place. In Matthew 13:41, it says, "The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity." Matthew 13:49 says, "So shall it be at the end of the world, the angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just." So this reminds us of another Lazarus, the brother of Martha and Mary. He was dead 4 days. In these cases, I believe that the people who leave their body and are revived have not been ushered anywhere by the angels. The only example we have of that happening is Samuel, and he was very upset when King Saul had him called back up. He was not happy to leave paradise. This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send it your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No break. Click Sermon Library. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no break. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.